Well, thank you, Brother Combs. And some of you are already putting some wind in your face. We had an air conditioner unit decide to spill a lot of water this afternoon, and we had to shut it down. So the other units are working overtime, and I think you'd rather be here than Pot of Gold in San Antonio, right? Yeah, a lot of yeses. So I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad Brother Combs is leading singing. I can't tell you. I had a couple in my Sunday school class, Brother Bruce Green, come up to me after Sunday school Sunday, and he was happy and joyful. He said, "Brother Donnelly, you hit a bass note today singing." That's the first time he's ever come up to me in the last 2 years. I hit one note in a song. And that's a victory for me. Maybe by next year I'll hit two notes. So I'm not a singer, and I'm glad Brother Combs is here. I know Brother Sam's here mainly to protect his job, make sure that he asked me to make Brother Combs make a mistake the other day to protect his job. Brother Combs is doing an excellent job, and it's beyond me how he can get up and do all this and lead the choir. It's a gift of God to be able to sing and to use singing and be able to lead a choir. But I appreciate you, Brother Combs, wherever you snuck off to, and taking care of that for me tonight. I'm relaxed and ready to preach because I didn't have to try to lead singing. But, Brother Sam, it's good to see you. A lot of prayers gone into your knees, and it's good to see where you're at. He's had a lot of rehab this week. He's had to watch little Sam Davis. So he's had a lot of extra motion in those knees in and out of his physical therapy. But I thank y'all for being here. Look in your Bibles, if you would, at two places, Joshua 24:15. And I apologize if I drink a lot of water. I've got a little upper respiratory something passing through with this weird weather. And again, a little bit warm in here tonight, but not too bad. Joshua 24:15, most of you will know this verse. Find another passage that may not be as familiar, and that is 2 Samuel 6, verses 10 through 12. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And try to preach a thought, try to preach a man tonight by the name of Obed-Edom. And a man I've never heard preached very much at all, but a man with a significant testimony for the Lord. And as I read this scripture, I'll ask you at the end, I like to, when I see something in scripture, ask why. And ask why, and then do a little research, and then run the cross-references. Try to figure out why, and in this case, this man, Obed-Edom, was blessed of the Lord in his house. And in a day and age when our house is being destroyed, and our house is becoming weaker and weaker, and that, by that I mean the family structure and what holds this nation together and what this nation was built on, I really want to ask why, and try to glean a little something from Obed-Edom. But if you'd stand with me, we'll first look at Joshua 24:15. The Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." No mights, maybes, one days, we will serve the Lord. And look down at verse 21. I want to throw this in. And for a while, actually for two generations, he had feedback and he had buy-in from the people. In verse 21 it says, "And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And we'll look at that a little bit later tonight, but for two generations they followed the Lord and did right according to the Word of God. Now look over at 2 Samuel, and we're going to be introduced to this man named Obed-Edom. And I challenged my wife, maybe we'll name our, we found out it's a son by the way, and maybe we'll name him Obed-Edom. Maybe I'll have to move out of the house with him if we name him Obed-Edom. But she promises me it'll be our last child, and I told her I'm getting a cheap lawyer to start the adoption process for number four. And she's had a tough pregnancy. Thank you for praying for her. She's here tonight, and I know the Texas heat is nothing she's looking forward to in July or August, but baby's due in October, so we appreciate your prayers for her. 2 Samuel 6, verse 10 says, "So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness." And I just asked that question tonight, why was Obed-Edom blessed? And we'll cover just a few things about the ark. This is a pretty exciting time. It wasn't for Uzzah just shortly before this. The ark was taken into battle to assure victory for the Hebrews, but it didn't work that way. The Philistines captured the ark, and lo and behold, they kept it about 7 months, and their god Dagon fell and was broken up, and they found out, we really don't want this ark. There's a lot of power in it from the true God. So the Philistines gave it back up, and it remained in a place called Kirjath-Jearim 20 years in the house of Abinadab. Now, one of Abinadab's sons was Uzzah, and David finally decided, I want to bring this ark up to Jerusalem, the city of David, and eventually put it in the temple. Well, we know the story of Uzzah, and it makes good preaching. Uzzah made a mistake. As the ark passed the threshing floor, Uzzah did what? He reached out and touched it. And that was a no-no. That was against God's law in handling of the ark. And Uzzah was smitten dead by God at that point, and David didn't like that. And David got a little, I would have too, a little bit backed away. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to park this ark with Obed-Edom, a man I can trust, a man whose family I can trust, a man who's blessed of the Lord and doing something right. So David parked, if you will, the ark with Obed-Edom and left it there 3 months before it was eventually taken the right way down to the city of David. So I want to consider Obed-Edom tonight and preach about him a little bit and challenge you as we look at his family. We don't know a whole lot about him. And some of this is just because what it does tell us in the Scripture, we can probably put some pieces together about his life. When you find a person that is blessed and all that pertaineth unto him, he's a pretty important man. He's done some things right in his family and his leadership. So I want to preach a message entitled The Umbrella of God's Grace. The Umbrella of God's Grace. You know, maybe, just maybe, something was over Obed-Edom's family. Maybe he was in favor with God. Maybe he was in constant obedience to God. And he had this umbrella of grace over him. Something we see throughout the Bible. We'll see examples of men and women that stayed under the umbrella of grace. And we'll see some that moved outside of the umbrella of grace and disaster and a ruined testimony after that point. But consider that thought, the umbrella of God's grace tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for each and every person here. And dear God, we're here for a purpose, to hear the Word of God. And I pray it changed lives, it would challenge us and cause us to grow. Father, would you take over? Forgive me for all the mistakes I'll make in advance. And I pray your Holy Spirit would have free reign here and just work on hearts and challenge us to keep the umbrella of your grace over us and all that are ours. We pray and ask for this result in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We consider Obed-Edom. Now, I want you to look at 1 Chronicles 26. If you study Scripture, again, it's a good study. You'll see a few different things about Obed-Edom and about his children, about his sons in particular. So 1 Chronicles chapter 26. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Because I don't want to embarrass myself, I'm going to do the wimpy thing and start at the end of verse 5. It said, for God blessed him. For God blessed him. Speaking of Obed-Edom. Verse 6, also unto Shimei, his son, were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father. For they were mighty men of valor. Speaking of Obed-Edom's sons. Verse 7, the sons of Shimei, Othni, and Raphael, and Obed, and Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men. Elihu and Semachiah, all these of the sons of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and their brethren, see two generations there, able men for strength, for the service. There's a little bit of insight into what Obed-Edom raised, and the kind of father he was. And there were 72 of Obed-Edom, so quite a big family, by the way. As I've titled this, The Umbrella of God's Grace, it's kind of a message tonight, maybe more for fathers. We have Father's Day upon us in a few days. But it's a message for each and everyone here. What's above? What's your guide? What are you following? What's above you? Can you say that you've got the umbrella of God's grace over you and you're in God's will? And you know what? Whatever happens, financial hardship, sickness, you're going to be under that umbrella of God's grace. We remove ourselves from it, by the way. It's God's will for His umbrella of grace to fall on each and every person here and each and every person in this world, beginning with the grace of salvation of Jesus Christ. But God's umbrella of grace, we could describe it many ways tonight. I could take a vote, and some of you would say, well, it's a great prayer life. Some of you would say, well, it's just obedience. It's just following the Lord. What's His umbrella of grace to you? It's being in church. It's serving. It's all these things. It's being a witness. It's building a testimony. It's teaching your kids, bringing them up, fathers, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's all these things. It's staying underneath the will of the Lord for your life. I said earlier, there's a lot of bad examples in the Bible. Men that started out right, I think of Lot. Lot started out good. He wanted the world, and he lost his family. I think of Achan. Achan wanted some of the accursed thing, And Achan and his family were wiped out, were killed, and they removed themselves from the umbrella of God's grace. I think of Saul. Saul had a good beginning, humble, big warrior, and was chosen to be the first king. Let me just read you a few passages about Saul, how God Saul removed himself from the umbrella of God's grace. 1 Samuel 15:35 says, "And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." It's pretty strong. A chapter later, 1 Samuel 16:14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." And folks, he removed himself from that shield of protection, that hedge, that umbrella of grace that I want to be under, that I want my family under, and that I want the second generation under, and third generation, if Christ tarries and we're still on this earth to reproduce and train and bring our children up. What about David? David was under that umbrella of grace until a place in his life where some big sin came into his life. Later in 2 Samuel 12 said, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house." We think of Solomon, pretty good beginning. Solomon fell into sin as well. All these men started good, but you know what? Power, maybe prosperity, maybe their position, something came into their lives and they got so busy and so misguided that they fell into sin and removed themselves from out from underneath the umbrella of God's grace. Oh, a lot of good examples too. We have Noah, and boy, you know the things that happened to Noah. Verse 1, chapter 7, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." In Genesis 8, 1, "And God remembered Noah." When God remembers you, it sounds like an umbrella of grace about you. And that was the case for Noah. What about Abraham? Father Abraham. Maybe I could sing that song, but I won't. Genesis 12, 2 says, "And I will make of thee a great nation." The next verse is, "I will bless them that bless thee." Sounds like Abraham had an umbrella of grace about him. And it extended to generation after generation. Oh, I can think of Boaz in the lineage of David and Ruth. And just what they were under. And that, of course, brings us back to Obed-Edom. And you could just think of many in the Bible that kept themselves under the umbrella of God's grace. This message, I wish it was one that you could just go out and apply tonight in the morning, but it's a lifetime. This is the message that when you think of Obed-Edom's life, and you begin to apply it in your life, you may not see results for a week, a month, a year, but 5 years, 10 years down the road, can folk look at you and your family and say they're under the umbrella of God's grace. And as I said that, you think of people that people come to my mind that you just see have been under the umbrella of God's grace. Dr. Smith, who I wish was here preaching tonight, he's under the umbrella of God's grace. By the way, what was the title of his book? I think it's Grace Upon Grace. He's a living testimony of God's grace. And it started as a teen when he surrendered and his family was saved. But I want to just challenge you tonight. How do you live under the umbrella of God's grace? The message should have a how-to, and this is an application-type message. So how do you live under the umbrella of God's grace? Now, I've got something kind of corny, and I'm glad I'm not being filmed tonight, but my wife said, yeah, go ahead and do this, and I will. Probably won't work, probably fall, but only audio is working tonight, so I'll get away with this. But let me just show you a few things about an umbrella, whether it stays up here or not. We'll find out. I wanted a good A&M umbrella, but didn't have time, Miss Lemon, to get one. So I've got kind of a non-NCAA type umbrella. But let me just set it up here. And let's just hope it stays up here. It did in rehearsal today. If I balance it right, it will. And it'll fall in a minute too. Let me give you a few things about an umbrella. And just think of a physical umbrella, what it does, what it provides. First, let me say you got to open the umbrella. It's pretty simple. The umbrella does no good closed. If I go out into a rainstorm with a closed umbrella, I look pretty stupid. Well, that's about like carrying the Word of God and going to a church and just not opening it, not having anything outside of the time you spend in church with God. You're carrying a closed umbrella into a storm. Can I say life is a storm? It is a storm. You can say, oh, there's lots of peaks, but there's a lot more valleys we live through than there are peaks. And you need your umbrella open. So this umbrella, I'm going to open it now. It's really going to get tricky. But it's got to be opened, or it absolutely does no good. It doesn't serve any purpose. Now, you stay there. Somebody would think I'm a lunatic if they saw this. Preparing for a leak. Oh, I knew it was going to do that. Listen to that. Well, We're going to give it one more chance. And it either stays or it comes down. Well, there. It's all right, Brother Richard. It comes down. You've seen it and you know and understand what its purpose is. But the umbrella represents something to give support, protection, to give authority. In the case of an environment, protection from a rainstorm. But it has to be open. How do you get God's grace? How do you get under the umbrella of God's grace? Well, first of all, by salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. First of all, it's through salvation. And then I think it goes back to the verse we read first tonight. If there hadn't been a time in your life when you said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, it needs to be tonight. It needs to be something not to overlook. And by the way, kids, I'm speaking to you tonight too. You're going to decide tonight, tomorrow, yesterday, what kind of life you're going to live one day. And I think it's a beautiful, wonderful thing when a young person decides, but as for me and my house, one day we will serve the Lord. You can't decide that too young in life. Folks that are older and have families, maybe you're here and your kids already moved off and this and that, it's still okay to say, but we will serve the Lord. That's opening up the umbrella of grace in your life and getting that direction. And I really want to emphasize to our fathers tonight, I believe if you looked at all the problems in our country, and there are thousands, I believed if you looked at the current administration, I believed if you looked at everything as a whole, it's just this preacher's opinion that our homes have broken down. And I look to the father. I don't look to the mother. I don't look to the kids. I look to the father, God's representative, God's authority in the house, as failing in a big way. And fathers, we have got to open the umbrella of grace and then purpose to live under it. And when you bring children into the world, you better have that purpose in mind to keep them under the will of God day in, day out. I told my wife a few days ago, I said, honey, it takes a lot of time training up kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you want to teach your kids character, you want to teach them how to read, you want to teach them how to be in church, how to serve, if you want to teach them honesty, if you want to teach them how to work, if you want to teach them good manners, if you want to teach them how to sing, which I can't do, if you want to teach them just all these things to be a good Christian, it takes all your time. And you'll spend a lot of time investing in them. But you've got to open the umbrella of grace and your family has to see it. They've got to know you're real. And they're going to know you're a real dad, mom, leader of the home. By your actions. They'll know you by your works and what you do. And you know what? Just looking back over history, it'd be valuable to mention the fall of the Roman Empire, great world empire. One of the great leading causes was the destruction or the deterioration of the home. Sports was a big reason. Money, prosperity was a reason. But the breakdown of the home, the weakening of the father, helped lead to the fall of the Roman Empire. And it's doing just that in our country. And boy, do I ever have a burden for our homes. And they need to be built up under the umbrella of God's grace. Obed-Edom somehow had an umbrella of grace about him. Somehow David, King David, trusted with the ark and let him have it and deliver it right. Some of you remember, probably all of you just about remember the Thorpe family that was here back in the fall. Beautiful singing group, three pastors. I bought their CD, and we just listen to it all the time, and we love it. I love song 5, We Believe, and I've listened to it enough. I try to sing it, but I really, really appreciated one song on that CD. If you have the CD, you'll know what I'm talking about. Their father gives an introduction. Godly man, was a pastor, and he says, I'm paraphrasing, he said, one day I just got my sons when they were teenagers, and I set them down, and I looked at them, and I said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And boy, he said that, and it just put chill over my body and hair stand. I thought, wow. And all three of his sons have served the Lord and their families. And I appreciated that. But you got to open the umbrella first. The second thing, the umbrella does no good once you open it, but if you don't stand underneath it. If I'm not under the umbrella, it does no good. It'd be kind of ridiculous to carry this thing out in the rain like this. You would identify yourself as an Aggie and be ridiculed and mocked. That umbrella is to be placed, to have you place yourself underneath and stay underneath it. It's our jobs as Christians to know the boundaries of this umbrella. Just picture with me now, God's Word, God's umbrella of grace, but boy, you just have to know when you're stepping outside of it. And by the way, all those that are yours and all those that follow you, all those that are under your leadership and authority, they're watching and they know too when you step outside of God's umbrella of grace. See, the things we think will affect us and take us out of the will of God are
sometimes things we don't have any control over. Sometimes trials. Maybe it's a job loss. We think, oh, I'm out of the will of God. I got fired. No, God's just trying you, and He's got something else for you if you stay under the umbrella of grace. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's cancer or something. You know what? Those things we don't have any control over. The things that take you out of the umbrella of God's grace are willful sin, presumptuous sin, rebellion, disobedience to the Word of God, pride, arrogance, envy, and could go on and on. When we choose, we can get out from underneath the umbrella of God's grace and then pay the penalty. And the generation after us pay the penalty. And generation after that. We see Uzzah. What happened to him? He didn't have a generation. He didn't have sons and daughters after him that could see a good example. Consider Job with me. Consider Job. I want you to look at a few places in the book of Job. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 22. And I can't think of a better picture of a man, although he got just a hair bit bitter, and boy, he really questioned some things. But I believe he stayed under the umbrella of God's grace. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 22. Job chapter 1, verse 22. Job, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, if you will, look over at Job chapter 42, the very last chapter, and an incredible chapter, sums up the life, and Job is brought to a place of just great humility before the Lord, and Job says some things. Some things are said about Job. Look at verse 12, the beginning. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Sound like he stayed under the umbrella of grace? I think so. I think he kept right through it all. Look at verse 15 and 16. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. That's pretty awesome, folks. Four generations after him were blessed because Job decided to stay under the umbrella of God's grace and not remove himself from it. I heard one pastor say this one time, and I like it, and it's kind of stuck with me. He said, find out where God is blessing and get right in the middle of it. Get in the way of it and put yourself in it. Find out where that umbrella is, God's will for your life, and get underneath it. And then stay in it, day in, day out. Stay in the Word of God and pray. And you know what? Everyone here has got examples of getting out from underneath the umbrella of God's grace. I just like to think of Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. Want back under that umbrella of God's grace? By the way, He's full of grace, and His mercies are new every morning, or He wouldn't allow us back under that umbrella of grace sometime. We can get back under that umbrella of grace. If we take care of sin, we confess it, forsake it, flee it, get it out of our life, run from it. Open the umbrella of grace, stay under the umbrella of grace. And finally, I'll end with this, pass on the umbrella of grace. Pass on the umbrella of grace. And I mean by this, I mean when I'm reaching my latter years in life, the greatest, greatest desire I have for my children and my wife are to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and lean not unto their own understanding. I mean, I don't care if they go to this college or Bible college or do this or that. I care that they love God. Because I know if they love this book, everything's going to fall into place and they'll serve God from their heart and not from their outer man. And that's why I say we need to pass it on. Look one more place, Proverbs 13:22, and we'll see this thought. Proverbs 13:22. We see something of an inheritance here. Just the beginning of that verse, Proverbs 13:22, says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now, the first thought that might come to your mind is, ooh, an inheritance, money. Well, I can't do that. I can leave them a diesel truck and a couple pennies here and there and not much more. So I guess I failed at that. Well, God's Word isn't designed for us to fail in any of it. So you know what? This verse is talking about a spiritual application. It's about leaving an inheritance to my children's children, to the second generation after me. A spiritual heritage, an umbrella of grace that they've seen Daddy live and Mommy live. And they want it, and they desire it, and they see it's real. They see answered prayer, and they see souls won to the Lord. And they see it, and they desire it. So we've got to pass it on. And I challenge you tonight at what your goals in your family are, and one day how you'll be looked upon by those that remain after you. One more place, I lied, one more place in Scripture, Psalm 78. This is just a tremendous passage of Scripture that shows five generations, and I want to point them out to you. And in it is revealed the key to staying under God's umbrella of grace. And I just want you to see this, Psalm 78, starting in verse 2. Psalm 78 and verse 2, the psalmist says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. Now that's the first generation, which we have heard and known. If they've heard and known something, maybe they've been taught it. Maybe it's been preached to them. There's two generations. In the last part of verse 3, and our fathers, there's that second generation, have told us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. There's another generation, the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That's how we do it, by making the Word of God known to our children. Verse 6, we see two more generations. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. There's the fifth generation in this part of Scripture. And how is it done? It's by teaching. It's by training the generations to follow about the umbrella of God's grace and exhorting them to live in it and follow a godly example in you. That's how we pass on the umbrella of God's grace. Well, I think of Brother Roe Reed, passed away to be with the Lord less than a year ago, I believe. Tremendous picture of God's grace and the umbrella that opened when Brother Roe Reed decided some point in his life, early in his life, because I know he served as a pastor many years, said, we will serve the Lord. And we know his heritage. Brother Sam and his family all serve the Lord. Their children serve the Lord. And grandchildren serve the Lord. And what a picture of the umbrella of God's grace and living underneath it. I think of Dr. Smith's family. I think of my family. Listen, folks, I didn't get saved until 1995 and then got into Bible college. In year 2000... I heard a song sung in one of our chapel messages in the college, and I believe Lindsay Pollock sang it, and it was, I Have a Goodly Heritage. And I remember approaching her afterwards. I didn't know much of anything. I still don't, but I really didn't then. And I approached her after chapel and said, that was pretty. I said, I want that for my family. I want a goodly heritage. And she made a comment. She just said, oh, well, it's got to start with you then. And she was right. Godly heritage, goodly heritage, the Bible says, Psalm 16:11, must start. You must desire in your heart and be diligent about it to keep it, to keep your life under the umbrella of God's grace. It's never too late to get your family under the umbrella of God's grace. There's many, many avenues to it. I'll leave that to you, Bible study, the Lord, the Holy Spirit to show you. We're all lacking in some area tonight. We're probably all strong in some areas tonight about getting under the umbrella of God's grace. There's some people in here that are scholars in the Word of God. I'm looking at one right here, Brother Richard Muse. There's some people in here that pray, that come up to me and humble me and say, Brother Donnelly, what can I pray for you about? There's some people in here that serve awfully hard and give a lot of time to the Lord. There's all these things. But is your life under the umbrella of God's grace? Do you feel His presence? Do you know you're in His will? And do you have His mercy and His grace upon you? Can I tell you this? You'll stay very busy under the umbrella of God's grace. Don't make excuses for not being under it. Sometimes we'll look over here at the umbrella and a family that's under it, and first thing we'll do is make some excuses. Well, I'll never be as good as they are. Or I don't have the heritage. Or I didn't have parents that did what their parents do. No, that's an excuse. And that Bible scripture in Joshua 24:15 is for each and every one here tonight. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you can make that your promise tonight and claim it, and God will bless. Grace, by the way, by definition, it's not for the perfect person. It's for sinners. To lift up a broken sinner and save their soul and redeem them and give them life. And by the way, it doesn't just stop there. It's the hardest thing to watch a new convert who believes the whole Christian experience is wrapped up in the new birth. No, they're a babe in Christ, and as newborn babes, they should desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. That's the beginning. And that's discipleship, and we can go down a lot of paths tonight, but I just want to say the umbrella of God's grace. You've got to open it. And boy, you've got to stay under it. And it's a lifelong task to stay under it. And it's hard. Our old flesh doesn't want us there. The devil? Absolutely not. He wants that folded up and out of the way. And you know what? The world thinks we're just nuts. Thinks we're peculiar, which is a compliment, by the way, if we try to put our life under the umbrella of God's grace and trust an invisible God and trust a book that's thousands of years old and do all these things. We're awkward. We're peculiar. But that's where the umbrella of God's grace is, and that's where I want to live. If we're not diligent in this, Christianity will disappear. I'll leave you with this thought. We could win the battle in America, for the United States of America, if we Christians reproduced and taught our children, kept them under the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we did it at a rate that is not diminishing in our country, but that's growing. And we replenished our kind, Christians, God-fearing Christians that'll serve in the military, that'll fight, stand up for right. We could win this country back. That's not, you won't see that in the news. There's another faith out there, you know who it is, that's greatly, greatly ahead of us in this area. Just look at France, look at Europe, and you can fill in the blanks. Two generations after Joshua left to be with the Lord, a tragic result happened for Israel. And I'll just read to you, I won't have you turn there. Judges 2, verse 10 through 12. Now think about it, Joshua, the one who said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Just two generations later, probably kids at the time that got to see Joshua, know Grandpa Joshua, and follow him a little bit, glean from him, and see the blessings on him. Just two generations later, let me read. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." Folks, that's disgusting. That the generation just two removed from Joshua fell that hard. And you know the story of Judges and all the continual falling back into sin and the need for deliverance. I don't want that to be your family. Neither does God want that to be your family tonight. Get under the umbrella of God's grace. Choose to live there. Have you declared it in your family? Have you looked at your wife and kids? Mom, if you're raising kids, have you looked at your kids? You looked at your family and said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're not moving out from underneath the umbrella. We're going to stay there and just let God bless. You know, he did it in Obed-Edom's family. And we just have a few scriptures coming back to the beginning of the message to look at Obed-Edom. But like I said to begin with, I wanted to know when I started studying him, why God blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him. Why could God trust the ark, his very presence, the ark, with Obed-Edom? The key is in that scripture. The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God, because he could be trusted and was responsible and obedient to the word of God, to the instructions about the ark. And he kept his family, I believe, under the umbrella of God's grace. Preacher's message, I believe it's Sunday night. Here am I. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Just avail yourself to God. Say, "Here am I. God, help me." It's a struggle to even open the umbrella of grace in a lost soul. And once it's opened, once you're saved, many are here saved tonight, it's going to be a struggle, but you must endeavor to stay under the umbrella of God's grace. And then the greatest thing I can leave my kids, again, is not money, it's not anything I've ever done, it's a heritage, a goodly heritage, one that'll last, one that'll help them in their family and allow them to pass it down to the next. And as a way of closing, I just ask you tonight to examine your life. Where are you? Maybe you're outside of the umbrella of God's grace tonight. It's easy to get back underneath. It's there. God will meet you tonight. Well, confess that sin, forsake it, become a clean vessel again, get back under that umbrella of God's grace, where the blessing is, where the smiles are, where the happiness, the joy is. And you know what? Where the blessing of God is. That's under the umbrella of His grace. Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight and thank You as we consider this message at the invitation, which You've done in hearts already, and pray that You continue to work in our hearts. Father, I pray and beg, if there's one lost here tonight that does not know the grace of God, they'll never understand the grace, the umbrella of grace You can put around them and their family. So I pray tonight, Lord, if there's a sinner among us that's never trusted Christ, they'd come forward in a moment and be saved. Trust You, Your Son Jesus is their Savior. Father, many tonight here have experienced the umbrella of Your grace. I pray for those that may be away from it, that they would seek it again and get back underneath it. Father, I pray for those here tonight that are underneath it. They would resolve and determine in their heart tonight to stay under that umbrella of grace that You freely provide, that You give us and lay out in the Word of God, that You convict us with through Your Holy Spirit, that You continually in prayer will talk to us and deal with us about. I pray tonight You just deal with hearts and have Your will and way. I'll ask you to stand and the music will begin and remain in the